This is Sustainable East End. I'm Francesca Rhiannon, co-host with Tony Ernst. Last Tuesday, June 11th, hundreds of protesters stormed the halls of the New York State Capitol building in Albany, filling the lobby, the staircases, and the space outside Governor Andrew Cuomo's office. They were there to demand that the legislature finally pass the Climate and Community Protection Act. This week, the New York Senate, the New York Assembly, and Governor Cuomo reached an agreement to pass it. The Climate and Community Protection Act would transition our entire economy off fossil fuels by 2050, invest in the communities most impacted by the climate crisis, and ensure that green jobs pay fair wages. To address how to implement the Climate and Community Protection Act, New Yorker News has written a companion bill called the Climate and Community Investment Act. The group commissioned economist Robert Pollan of UMass Amherst to write a study outlining how the state can reach the Act's goals, what it would cost, and how it would be paid for. It's called Clean Energy Investments for New York State. Pollan wrote a previous study on green jobs that was used by the Obama administration to design the stimulus package of 2009. I talked with Bob Pollan recently about his study of how to implement the proposed Climate and Community Investment Act. Here's that conversation. Well, Bob Pollan, welcome to Sustainable East End.
Thanks very much. Happy to be on.
So you have put out a study for basically a Green New Deal. You've put out two studies. One is for the U.S., but one is also for New York State. Clean energy investments for New York State. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved with doing this study for New York State.
Well, I've been doing these kinds of studies actually for roughly a decade now, starting with a U.S. framework. A first paper I was focused on mainly the job impacts of a transition to a green economy and trying to show that, contrary to the prevailing view out there, that building a green economy is good for jobs. It's not bad for jobs. It's not a trade-off jobs versus the environment. It's building a green economy means investments in all kinds of activities that will generate jobs. So the first study I put out that made that argument was way back in 2008, which then actually got picked up by the Obama administration when they designed their stimulus program. And the green part of the green investment part of the stimulus program was fully, 12-13% of the total. It was $90 billion. And they based their approach on this paper that I did in 2008. So I've been at it, and then I did another study or two for the U.S., and then I did a global one, and then I've done it for different countries, including India, Puerto Rico. I've done studies for Spain, Germany, South Africa, Indonesia. Anyway, you get the idea. So the state-level studies I have done now for New York State and Washington State both came out at the end of 2017, and I'm doing one right now for the state of Colorado. The one for New York came about because I was commissioned by the Working Families Party of New York, and they're part of a broader coalition in New York called New York Renews. And so New York Renews is a very large coalition of a lot of community and environmental groups in the state. And they were the ones that asked me to do it. So that's how it came about.
Right. And it's linked to some legislation that New York Renews is involved in proposing, writing basically, for consideration by the New York State Legislature. There has been now for several years the Climate and Community Protection Act, which was passed by the Assembly for 3 years and then died in committee in the Senate. And that may very well change because now the Senate is in Democratic hands as well. But the proposed legislation is the Climate and Community Investment Act. First of all, tell us just very briefly, what's the connection between the two pieces of proposed legislation? Why the Climate and Community Investment Act?
Well, to be totally straightforward, I'm not really privy to the details as to, you know, the legislative maneuverings of New York Renews or the, you know, anybody else in the legislature. The only thing I can say, generally speaking, is that the initiatives of New York Renews are framed along the lines of legislation that already is on the books in New York and has been proposed to more or less continue along the lines of what New York has done so far, but with the big proviso that it's much more ambitious. It's the same ideas, but it's much more ambitious. New York State, on paper at least, has been a leader in terms of advancing climate legislation and goals, but the rhetoric has not been matched by real accomplishments. So New York Renews is really trying to put some teeth into the initiatives for the state.
Right. And in fact, I saw an article you wrote for the Albany Times Union that said that even the goals so far have fallen short. The fulfillment of the goals so far have fallen short. What is holding things back, or what is the problem with realizing the goals that have already been made? Just briefly, and then, you know, tell us how your study will address those issues and make and operationalize the goals in a better way.
So there, you know, there's a prime example. New York State committed to achieving 29% renewable electricity by 2015. That actually was a pretty modest goal, given that New York State already utilizes hydropower for about 18% of their electricity as it is. So to get from 18 to 29%, and of course there was, you know, modest amounts of solar and wind and so forth, but to get from 18 to 29% was not a big stretch. I mean, it's significant, but you didn't get there. In fact, you didn't even get close. You were at about 23% the last time I checked. So that's really just, you know, 4 or 5 percentage points above what you get as a baseline from your hydropower infrastructure. Now, the interesting thing, and I'm thrilled that you asked me this question and that you read my article in the Albany paper, because there was no coverage whatsoever about the fact that the state did not meet its 2015 goal. I know this for a fact. I put a research assistant on it for a few weeks, looking at every single news source, every single memo that's publicly available from within the state. Not one of them acknowledged that they failed to meet the goal. And boy, what do we do about it? So it's all well and good to put goals on paper, but if they aren't binding, or if nobody's going to even notice when they aren't achieved, we're not going to accomplish very much in New York State or any place else. So New York Renews is trying, as I said, to put teeth in these things. And if we're going to have, for example, a 50% reduction in emissions, overall emissions, by 2030, then, you know, it has to really be done. It's not just that we're going to say it's going to be done and then everyone ignores it. And, you know, New York Renews wants a zero emission New York State economy by 2050. These are very ambitious goals, but they're achievable. And what I tried to show is that they are achievable. They're ambitious, but achievable. But you have to take them seriously.
So let's dive into some of the details. So this prepares a policy framework for supporting investments in throughout the state. First, tell us what the current state of investments are and where they need to be to achieve the goal. I believe you have a 2030 goal and then you have a 2050 goal of 100%. What is the 2030 goal again?
50%. 50% cut in emissions relative to when I was writing the paper, which is 2017. So roughly 50% relative to today. and 100% by 2050.
100% cut in emissions. You're saying zero emissions.
Yeah, down to zero. Zero emissions, right, right, yeah.
That is. Okay, so we're not just talking about 100% renewable energy. We're talking about 100%.
No, yeah, no, that's different. You're right. So, yeah, a zero emissions economy by 2050, which is achievable.
When you say zero emissions, does that mean that, you know, if whatever people are emitting is going to be taken up by some balancing act where there is...
I'm saying zero emissions, like not zero net emissions, which is, you know, better than nothing, of course, wherein we have positive emissions, but then, well, let's say we increase the forest coverage in the state, which will increase absorption of CO2. That's positive. I'm all for that. But I'm saying no, and I should say I'm not in the study I focused on carbon dioxide, CO2 emissions. So I'm not talking about methane. I'm not talking about nitric oxide, other two large sources of greenhouse gas emissions. And that's a shortcoming of the study. So I'm focusing on carbon dioxide from energy. So basically burning coal, natural gas, and oil to produce energy in New York State. And the goal, therefore, is to have no energy production through the burning of coal, oil, and natural gas, so that all energy would come from clean, renewable sources and from increasing efficiency of the existing infrastructure of the state.
So this is electricity generation, or does it include transportation fuels?
Both transportation and electricity.
And this would mean everybody's driving electric cars.
It means everybody's driving electric cars, or of course using public transportation that runs on electricity. Or you can have liquid fuels from bioenergy, and that I think is going to be a modest supplemental contributor to the overall energy mix as of 2050. Right now, you know, we have a fairly significant amount of bioenergy running transportation vehicles, but it's corn ethanol. Corn ethanol is a dirty energy source. The way it's produced, it's roughly equivalent to burning coal. So corn ethanol is no solution. But if you utilize bioenergy from agricultural wastes and you refine that energy through renewable energy sources as opposed to fossil fuel energy sources, then you can have clean bioenergy. So that's what I mean by clean bioenergy.
Well, that's really exciting. You're listening to Sustainable East End. I'm Francesca Rhiannon. I'm talking with Robert Pollan of the Political Economy Research Institute at UMass Amherst about his study of how New York State can implement a Green New Deal that will create hundreds of thousands of new jobs and make New York fossil fuel free by 2050. Let's talk about the investment then. What level of investment do we have, and where do we need to be to accomplish this?
New York State, first of all, I should say, New York State needs to improve a lot, but New York State is the cleanest state in the United States relative in terms of emissions, CO2 emissions per capita. New York State is better than every other state in the country, as it is. And there's two big reasons for that. One is that you do have a lot of hydropower. And two is that you have a highly efficient energy infrastructure relative to other states. And that is mainly due to the energy infrastructure in New York City. So New York City, where most people live in apartment buildings that are much more energy efficient than private residential living, and that you have a lot of public transportation in New York City and the environs around it. So that, you know, New York State is already pretty good, very good relative to the rest of the country, but you still have a ways to go. So what I estimated was that it's a fairly simple kind of project. Conceptually, we're talking about expanding renewable energy supply and raising energy efficiency standards beyond where they already are. And while that happens, we also let fossil fuel energy consumption decline by about 2 to 3% a year. So the level of investment needed to hit these targets of a 50% cut by 2050 and a 100% cut in emissions by 2050. So we have the 2030 goal, 50%, 2050, 100%, is on the order of 2% of the state's GDP, actually a little less, 1.8% of GDP every year gets invested in raising the energy efficiency levels, investing in things like more public transportation, especially in the outer, you know, outside of New York City, investing in, subsidizing the purchase of electric cars, in industrial production using so-called combined heat and power systems so that we don't waste the energy used for generating electricity. We reuse it as heat. Those kinds of things can be extremely valuable, improving the insulation in residential homes, simple things like that. So that's very important. And then in addition to that, building up the supply of solar power, wind power, geothermal power. I don't think there's much room to expand hydropower, but those would be the main components of the project.
And this would also mean retiring nuclear plants, power plants?
Yeah, well, I didn't suggest any expansion of nuclear power. And then, yes, there already are plans to retire the existing stocks, at least some of the stock of nuclear power. So basically what we called for is just allowing that rate of decline of nuclear supply to continue and increasingly rely on these renewable energy sources.
Right now, Bob Pollan, the state and private companies are investing between $7 and $8 billion a year in renewables. But you say we need to get to almost $9 billion per year in energy efficiency and $22 billion per year in clean renewable energy. Now, that comes to a total of clean energy investments of about $31 billion a year. Where is this money going to come from?
Well, first of all, when we say it in the absolute dollars, it sounds gigantic. $31 billion is a lot of money, but it's less than 2% of state GDP for New York State. So when we frame it that way, you know, it's saying 98% of all the activity, economic activity in the state can proceed more or less as it is, if that's what people want to do. But we do have to channel 2% or 1.8% into this project. So the sources of funding, we are going to raise money through the polluter's fee, and that will raise some of it. And so we have a new source of public investment and a source of funding for private investors. The other funding will come from the private sector. And there's no reason why we wouldn't expect private sector investment, because this is going to be the energy source for the state. And if we also have regulations which are supposed to limit the fossil fuel consumption for the state, and those limits get stricter every year, then their private sector should have every incentive they need to, you know, to push the money into building up the green economy.
So you talked about a polluter fee. It's going to start at $35 per ton in 2021, according to this analysis. I mean, that's what you would be, I guess, in the act, right? The Clean Climate and Community Investment Act. And it would rise to $75 per ton as of 2030. So is this going to be passed on to the consumer, or is there a way to ensure that it won't hit the middle and low income New Yorkers too hard?
The way to absolutely ensure it is basically to raise the money and then give it back to the consumers. And we propose that some of the funds that are generated by the fee be returned, especially to the lower income households, so they won't face any additional cost whatsoever. From their standpoint, the point of the polluter fee is to encourage people to switch into renewable energy and efficiency, which will be cheaper. But to the extent they still rely on fossil fuel energy, they get the money back by redistributing some of the tax revenues. Beyond that, for the upper income households, keep in mind that we are investing in energy efficiency for the state, which will make all their energy consumption cheaper, because that's the meaning of energy efficiency. You get the same energy services with less energy usage. And then also keep in mind that we are transitioning the economy to renewables. So to the extent that the upper income households shift into renewables through their, say, having an electric car as opposed to a fossil fuel engine car, you know, that will also mean that they are not facing the polluter fee at all.
I can tell you, my son just recently bought a Nissan Leaf.
Oh.
And he's an Uber driver. And he is finding that he's saving basically $500 a month that he was spending on gasoline is that's gone away, and it's paying for his monthly payment on the car.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. So, when we switch, you know, electric cars, and, you know, and part of the program that we propose for New York State is to subsidize the purchase of electric cars. Now, electric cars don't do us a whole lot of good if the electricity is generated by coal. So, you know, we need the buildup of the renewable electricity sector to be an important integral part of this process, so that when people have the electric cars, the electricity comes from renewable energy.
Absolutely. And my mother example is that today I was in a meeting to talk about community choice aggregation, which is a way that communities can basically band together to get their power supply and they can choose green energy sources. And one of the people in the audience said that they're generating 400% of their energy needs with the new solar panels that are on their roof.
Wow. Oh, okay. Now, the question is then, does the utility buy all 400% and give them the credit?
They do buy it, but they buy it, of course, at a much lower rate than they sell it.
Yeah, so that's one of the proposals in our New York State study, is that the utilities be obligated to buy all the electricity at a market price.
So now a really important feature of this study, Bob Pollan, is what you call a just transition. Tell us what that means.
The just transition is basically a program to ensure that people, workers, and communities whose lives, livelihoods are dependent on the fossil fuel economy have a just transition out of working in the fossil fuel economy and into other areas. That's basically it. I mean, these people are relying on their jobs, their incomes, their communities, the tax revenues from working in the fossil fuel industry. And so we need policies that will allow people to easily move into other areas.
And how many people are you talking about per year who you anticipate are going to be impacted, you know, are going to need help with this just transition?
So what we show is that there's about 14,000 workers in the whole state that are employed in the fossil fuel sector in any form. And that includes natural gas distribution, electric power generation, pipeline construction, and small numbers in oil and gas extraction, petroleum refinery. So it comes to about 14,000. And yes, over time, you know, by 2050, when we're at a 0% fossil fuel economy, then all 14,000 jobs will go away. But by 2030, when we're saying 50% are going to go away, or 40% contraction of the fossil fuel sector in New York, really what we're looking at is, out of those 14,000 jobs, about 5,400 will go away. But if we're doing it over a decade, that comes down to about 540 per year. Now, the other interesting part of our calculation is that we tried to estimate the number of workers in the fossil fuel sector of those 14,000 that are going to reach age 65, retirement age. And that comes out annually to be about 470, so that the total number of workers whose jobs will be lost, but who will not be retiring, who will need a replacement job, it only comes to about 70 workers per year requiring reemployment. So it's not a difficult, you know, it's not a difficult number of jobs to, if we're saying, well, we've got to find new jobs for 70 workers a year. We've got to make sure that they're decent jobs, and we've got to make sure that they are retrained as necessary and so forth. And so that's, you know, kind of the magnitude of the problem in terms of jobs. And it's, I think it's an important finding that people do not think that this is going to be an overwhelming problem. Certainly, the Trump administration has feasted on this idea that, you know, we're going to stand up for coal workers. These people are going to lose their jobs. Environmentalists don't care about them. We have to find a just transition for all of the workers, including, you know, these roughly 500 a year.
Wow, well, that's encouraging. It doesn't seem like a really heavy lift.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
Well, Bob Pollan, I want to thank you so much for talking with us here on Sustainable East End about your study, Clean Energy Investments for New York State. It's a study that was commissioned to talk about how to actually put into practice how it would work to have a Climate and Community Investment Act here in New York. Thanks again.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
This is Sustainable East End. You heard Robert Pollan, Professor of Economics and Co-Director of the Political Economy Research Institute at UMass Amherst, talking about his study, Clean Energy Investments for New York State. The report can be found at peri.umass.edu. Listen to Sustainable East End on the third Wednesday each month on WPKN or online at sustainableeastend.blogspot.com. Sustainable East End is produced by Tony Ernst and yours truly, Francesca Rhiannon.